Auburn is left out of the NCAA tournament field and now gears up for the NIT. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I am your host, Jacob Hillman, and Auburn has been snubbed from the NCAA tournament for the first time in quite some time for what I would call a real tournament, and in the fact that Auburn was also self-imposing a postseason ban the last time it missed out on a tournament that happened. Make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube and hit the like button and wherever you listen to your podcast for all the updates coming out from the Barn Podcast Network. But let's dive right into it. And Auburn is the second team out of the NCAA tournament field behind Oklahoma, while SMU, Texas, NC State, and Miami of Ohio are the last four in to the NCAA tournament field and will compete in the first four in Dayton on Tuesday and Wednesday. So kind of what it went into this decision and why Auburn was left out. I mean, I think it comes down to you got to flip a couple of those losses that came late, either against Oklahoma, against Ole Miss, or against Mississippi State. I think that Ole Miss loss is the one to really point towards, considering that came at home and Oklahoma was right there, obviously the first team out, and then Mississippi State, you just had a flamethrower of Josh Hubbard versus the Ole Miss game that looks a little bit worse on the resume when you go back and look at it, even with their SEC tournament run that they were able to have. But it's certainly disappointing. Again, going into this, I didn't have expectations that Auburn would be in the field of 68. I went in with the thought that Auburn would be left out. It seems like it was postured in a way to make it where it didn't come down to specific decisions like Auburn against Texas or NC State or even SMU, because that would have been, those decisions would have been much tougher than Auburn against an Oklahoma or a Miami of Ohio. Of course, we knew Miami of Ohio was going to be in. It would have been something else if they had been left out of the NCAA tournament field after going undefeated in the regular season. But for Auburn, it's one of those things where when you go through the metrics against those other high major opponents, it doesn't make a lot of sense how they were the ones put in over the Tigers in the aspect. There was so much talk about wins above bubble, strength of schedule, and quad one wins as well. And again, Texas is really the ultimate example of, if it came down to Auburn and Texas, which technically it didn't, then it would just be really hard for me to see how the Longhorns deserve it over the Tigers when they simply played two less games than the Tigers did. So, yeah, it's very disappointing, and it's one of those things where you have to move forward and look ahead to the NIT, which we'll dive into here in a few minutes. But I just – you look at the way Auburn's season ended. It is really – pretty simple of why Auburn didn't make it. And you can't have that five-game losing streak and from the start of February to the middle of February. You can't lose that home game to Ole Miss. And you got to be more competitive against Alabama, I think, as well. I think that could have potentially made a difference in the committee's decision. But nonetheless, it's something where You look at those wins against Florida, against Arkansas, against St. John's, against NC State. I think Auburn was like 7-13 against the field this season. So 20 games, 20 of your 31 regular season. I guess that probably is considering SEC tournament play. So I mean, 20 of your 33 games that you've played were against tournament teams, and again, it just really doesn't feel like that was all. With a 17-16 record, you never expect to be in. But I mean, you with the way the bubble was this year, I just feel like there was a case for the Tigers to make it in. And you go to Bart Torvik and T-Rank and look at the wins above bubble rating and how Auburn stacks up against everyone in SMU and Texas, both rated lower than Auburn. Auburn is in the positive and wins above bubble at 45th in the nation. Texas is minus 0.21 at 49th, and SMU is minus 0.09 at 47th. So Auburn's above them in both of those aspects. And like I said, it must have just been wins and losses that was really factored into this decision. And they didn't move past that, even with the aspect that Auburn also had head-to-head win over Texas and NC State, who Auburn NC State was just ahead of Auburn in wins above bubble. And then you go to the strength of record or strength of schedule, and that's even more of a there's more of a gap there. And I mean, the conversation has already started. Should Auburn play these tough non-conference games? Of course, next year, a lot of them are already set. Auburn will host Arizona inside Neville Arena. Arizona is probably the favorite right now to win the NCAA tournament. If you just look around at who everyone's picking to win in their bracket, Auburn will play in the Players Era Festival in Las Vegas against some of those same schools that the Tigers competed against this past season. Auburn will have an ACC opponent on the road this upcoming season. The ACC was quite a bit better in 25-26 than it was in the past couple of seasons. So all of those things adding up, you're going to play another tough non-conference strength of schedule. And with that, you're probably going to suffer some losses. But I mean, again, just continuing to beat that drum. I mean, you're going to have to play more home games than Auburn did this past season in the non-conference. Cause I mean, Auburn went from December 3rd through 29th. I might have those dates a little mixed up without playing a home game. Regardless, it was basically a full month. They opened the season at home with three straight home games. So November 3rd, 6th, and 11th, a home game. A pseudo home game against Houston and Birmingham. Another home game on the 19th against Jackson State. And then from that point forward, played one home game until SEC play. So you played four of your first five games at home. Go to Vegas for the Players Era. Host NC State for the ACC-SEC Challenge, and then don't play again at home until the final game. That's what it was, until the final game of the non-conference slate against Queens. So I just think it's worth, quite frankly, just playing a lot more games at home and stacking up wins like Texas did so that you solidify yourself in the field. And because you do have that Arizona game, you have the Players Era, you have that ACC opponent, you're not going to have a strength of schedule, a non-conference strength of schedule that's rated 321st in the nation like Texas did. And even if you do, you'd probably still get in because, I mean, I guess you just need one more win than Auburn had and two less losses, which if you stack it up the way I just did without playing Purdue or Arizona on the road in the non-conference, and you play a couple of quad four home games, well, then you're in the field because you're 18-14, just like Texas was. And again, I have to keep reminding myself that I went into this without the expectation of making the NCAA tournament, that Auburn, quite frankly, didn't quite do enough. The losses did stack up just enough. That Ole Miss game, the Mississippi State game, the Oklahoma game even. If just one of those flips the other way, then Auburn's in, and there's probably zero argument about it. But It's just a matter of the situation where when you stack it all up, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. So Auburn left out of the field for the first time since Auburn left out of the field, not on its own accord, for the first time in eight seasons, for the first time since 2016-17. And you go back to 2019-20, Auburn was going to be solidly in the field as probably a top five seed. I'd have to go back and look. I mean, Auburn finished that season with the dismantling of Tennessee in Knoxville. Tigers might have even been sneaking into four seed territory. But the following year was obviously the self-imposed postseason ban. And then Auburn's made it every year since until this season. And that leads me to my next point about the NIT bid. And there being a lot of discourse about whether or not this decision was worth it or not for the Tigers. And what I'll say is, as an Auburn fan base, you can't forget where we came from, because 10 to 15 years ago, we would be killing for an NIT bid, just any kind of postseason. From 2003 to 2018, Auburn did not make but one NIT. I think that was in 2009. I'll have to go back and double check that, but Auburn was not making postseason hardly at all. And yeah, that 2008 to 2009 season was one where Tiger fans felt like they were snubbed out of the NCAA tournament and then hosted three NIT games at Beard East Coliseum, where the Tigers fell in the NIT quarterfinals to Baylor. So outside of that one year where Auburn felt like it should have been in the NCAA tournament, you would have been ecstatic with a NIT bid. So, yes, while the disappointment is real in missing the NCAA tournament field, one, you make a postseason. That's a big deal. You have a chance to go win a championship. And while, yes, I know it's a consolation prize, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and act like this is a huge deal and is going to elevate the program to new heights or anything. We know what heights Auburn has reached in the past 6, 7, 8 years as one of the elite programs in the SEC. I'd argue, without Florida winning that national title last year, that Auburn is the program to beat in the SEC, with multiple Final Fours and five SEC titles over the past decade. Those kinds of things stack up and are the reason why I understand the high expectations and to turn the nose up at the NIT. But just over 10 years ago, it was not that way. It wasn't even close to that way. It was actually the complete opposite. Auburn was the laughingstock of the SEC and of high major basketball. So it's good that things are flipped a little bit, and it isn't that way anymore. But it is, I think, just worth noting that, hey, look, this program was nowhere near NIT bids when Bruce Pearl arrived on campus. The previous head coaching staff, it was brutal. They were not coming close to NCAA tournament bids. And like I said, even in the first 2-3 years of BP's tenure, Tigers weren't close. They were losing on Wednesday in the SEC tournament after that first season with the semifinals run. So this is not to be ashamed. And again, I like the aspect of it that Auburn didn't get snubbed from the NCAA tournament and just took its ball and went home. Unlike this isn't a Notre Dame football situation where the Tigers say, no, we're good. They want to compete. They want to go out and play more basketball. And while I know there's some that might not want to see that, that's on you. So that's my, on top of the current state of, all right, you've got a lot of guys that can come back and play for you. Obviously, Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy, they're done. They're gone after Auburn loses in the NIT or cuts down the nets in Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis in April. Whichever one happens, both of those guys are going to be done because they're out of eligibility. But outside of that, you are hoping to bring back Tahat Pettiford and Kevin Overton and Elijah Freeman and Sebastian Williams-Adams and Filip Jovic and more guys. Those are just the guys that have obviously been cemented in the rotation for Auburn. So getting those guys as much playing time as possible, and we talked about this the last episode together, especially in postseason basketball where you are playing in a win-or-go-home scenario, is a huge deal and can really carry over into next season. How much is an NIT run going to impact that? I don't know. But still, just getting 3, 4, 5 extra games together, I think it's a great deal. And just the aspect of if you do go and win it, I mean, there's that aspect of one, you do hang a banner for it. It's not gonna be one hanging outside the arena like the Final Four one is, but in the arena, it's good to have that. And two, just I mean, I think that helps your case. And well, Auburn probably should have been in, especially if like Texas and SMU and Miami of Ohio and NC State kind of just don't show up in their round of 64 matchups and fall to the six seeds, then yeah, you sit there and you're like, well, you probably should have maybe thought this one over. So I'm all for this accepting the NIT bid. I understand the frustration, and I think that really just carries over from being left out of the NCAA tournament field. So Auburn gets into the NIT. Let's dive into that and what it looks like. And we'll play tomorrow night, another late night tip. This is the only reason I would have declined it, is playing at 9 o'clock again, local time, inside Neville Arena. And you can find tickets for this. So if you're, listen, again, we know how tough of a ticket it is inside Neville Arena for the regular season. And when Auburn is on top of the college basketball world, this is a great opportunity to go see the Tigers play in person, in action, for $25 general admission. So you buy your $25 ticket, you show up 30 minutes before the doors open, and you might even get inside the jungle, or you might be right there above the jungle and so close to the action. It's a great opportunity to get in that building and really enjoy that. So South Alabama comes to town. The Jaguars were 21-11 under head coach Richie Riley this season and finished 205th in KenPom. And the Jaguars just really, they didn't show up for their Sun Belt Conference game. Now, of course, they did face the Georgia Southern run. That team was a 10 seed in that tournament, and they have one of the brackets where it's the one seed only has to play like two or three games, and then the lower seeds have to win like 7 games in 7 days to win the title. So Georgia Southern went on that hot run, and whoever was in their path just lost. But this South Alabama team just doesn't rate out great at all. Its offense in KenPom is 212th. Its defense is 197th. It's a slow team. Slow team. Tempo at 321st. It does a decent job at forcing turnovers. Taking care of the basketball, the 13.1 turnover percentage, and that tracks with the slow tempo. That's 8th in the nation. Also forces turnover, 18.2% rate. That's good for 89th. Now, where I think Auburn has to maybe take advantage is in its shooting because, I mean, here's the thing. South Alabama lets teams shoot at an insane clip from three. Maybe one of the last teams in the country. It might be dead last, quite frankly. I think there's 365 teams. And the same thing, it's assist to field goals made. That's a great rate. So that'll be huge for a guy like Taha Pettifor to facilitate the offense and do things like that. So I think that these matchups favor Auburn. And when you look at the bracket even further, Auburn would face Seattle U or St. Thomas from Minnesota with a win over the Jaguars. And either of those teams, Seattle is rated in KenPom at 119th, so a little bit better. And then St. Thomas is kind of in that same South Alabama range. And the thing is, when you get to tournament play, regardless of whether it's the NIT or it's the NCAA tournament, St. Thomas 109th, actually closer to Seattle's range. But regardless, these are opportunities again for these guys to play together again. And while yes, two of your key players won't be here in 8 months when Auburn takes the floor in November for year two under Stephen Pearl and the 26-27 regular season, you hope to at least have those younger guys back and ready to go. And again, whether or not it's an easier non-conference than it was a year ago, we'll see. Of course, like I said, we know what to expect with Arizona, the players era, and of course an ACC opponent, and especially that being on the road. We know that there are going to be at least five games that are going to be tough, and you're going to need to win probably three of them and compete in the other two. Like I said, fortunately, you got Arizona at home, and I'm looking a little bit too far ahead here, but to have that success, I think that this can really carry over, especially if you have success in this NIT. Of course, on the flip side, if you go out tomorrow night and you don't show up and South Alabama knocks you off, then okay, I don't know what happens. But that's not the mindset you can have if you're the team. Of course, like I said, we think a lot differently than the coaching staff or the players do. And that's how it should be. But they're going to go out and they're going to try and do what they can to win the NIT tournament and play for a spot in Indianapolis in early April. So we'll break down everything that goes into it. If Auburn is to win Tuesday, I believe they play Friday. But it might be Saturday. I need to look at that schedule again, but regardless, the first three rounds would be Auburn's the number one overall seed in the NIT. So first round, second round, quarterfinals would all be in Auburn at Neville Arena. Semifinals are at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And then the championship game is at Gainbridge Fieldhouse where the Indiana Pacers play in April. And it's, I think, on Final Four Sunday, actually. So that's kind of the path for Auburn. And if Auburn is to make it to the quarterfinals, then it would face either George Mason, who is a 3 seed, Liberty, Nevada, who's a 2 seed, and then Murray State. So that the bottom of that bracket is definitely where things get interesting. If Auburn is to advance to that quarterfinal and how it would get into semifinals and the finals, because the other 1 seeds in the NIT are New Mexico, which was solidly on the bubble with the Tigers going into Selection Sunday. Wake Forest, and then Tulsa. Oklahoma State is a 2 seed in the Tulsa region. As the reason I call that out, that's that's how Auburn started this season. Not officially, but in its first charity exhibition game, it was against the Cowboys. The other interesting teams in this is Dayton. Obviously, it lost its to VCU in the A-10. And then Yale, we know the history there. And then Cal, Colorado State, Utah Valley are in the Albuquerque region with New Mexico. So those are just some of the teams that are in the bracket and are potential opponents for Auburn down the road. But right now you got to focus on South Alabama. And again, I'll emphasize again. No, it's not necessarily a huge celebration that Auburn's in the NIT, and it shouldn't be, but you gotta look at it from the aspect of this team needs to play some postseason basketball. This program needs to stay in the postseason every single year that it can. And this is the way to do it. This is the way to hopefully grow your roster and develop them just a touch further than you were able to with just the regular season and a couple of conference tournament games. So this is the way to do it. And that is what Coach Pearl and his staff are going to do. So we will break down every NIT game. We'll break down how these things go right here on the Barn Hoops podcast. Make sure you're subscribed and hit the like button on YouTube to the Barn Podcast Network, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast as well for the audio format, because we'll have all that breakdown, the transfer portal, because I know a lot of you are already looking ahead to next season. We'll open after the national championship game. I think the Tuesday after the national championship game is when the transfer portal officially opens, and teams can, one, obviously players can enter the portal, and two, teams can contact those in the portal. So that's obviously the next kind of what we're looking at next after the NIT of breakdowns and then a look ahead to next season and how Auburn will move ahead, because as disappointing as this is, it's still a postseason berth, and it's not it's one where, like I said, you could argue Auburn probably should have been in the field this year. It wasn't, and it is what it is. So thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.